Colts brought their punt unit on the field. Now they're going to shift everybody to the right except for Whalen to snap the ball to Colt Anderson. Little deception here by the Colts on a fourth down and three coming up from the 47. A snap to Anderson, and he bobbled it, and he's brought down by Bolden.
My God.
Is there a penalty? The Colts
illegal
had everybody.
Formation. The whole right side of the line was not on the line of scrimmage. Offense. This penalty is declined. The result of the play is first down for New England. Oh,
so you have the whole punt formation saved for two players.
Nothing wrong with playing some of the greatest hits. I requested that one. You know why, Chris?
Why?
5 years ago today that happened.
Really?
We're celebrating an anniversary of that stupidity today. Oh, that one never gets old. I laugh every time I watch it still. So great. Let's welcome in Paul Perillo of Patriots.com. He's brought to you by Peerless Boilers. Peerless Boilers is introducing the new Pavilion tankless water heaters. Get all the hot water you need efficiently and save on your fuel bill year-round. To learn more about Pavilion tankless and to find an installer, visit PeerlessBoilers.com or PavilionTankless.com. Paul Perillo from Gillette Stadium joins us now. Hey, Paul.
Hey, boys.
Paulie.
5 years ago, huh?
5 years ago today. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago, does it?
See, I don't know. It seemed like a lot longer ago.
Really?
That was just one of the most surreal moments. Like, they're not going to snap.
Nah.
I can't believe
oh
they
my God,
it.
They snapped it. What a bunch of morons.
That was bad.
It's a good one. Paul, the Patriots are down a number of guys today. We've been sort of kicking around offensive line combinations as we get ready for this game today. The group, on the whole, has been great all year, but I know you love talking about guys in the trenches. Do you have a preferred lineup today up front for the Pats?
Oh, boy. That's a good one. I'm going to go let's try this. Let's try Isaiah Wynn, Mike Owenu, Joe Tooney, Justin Heron, Jermaine Illuminor, left to right.
I tend to agree with you on this one. We were kicking around the possible combinations earlier. I want to get to the inactives that just came out,
yes,
if you don't
they
mind.
Did.
Now that three of those guys will be on that list, and I'll have to redo it.
No, you're in great shape.
Okay.
Here are the inactives for the Patriots today. Carl Davis, Miles Bryant, Dalton Keene.
Oh, okay, so, yeah, well.
We're not going to see that tight end. But we still have Asiasi. J.J. Taylor and quarterback, drum roll please, Brian Hoyer, inactive. That means Jared Stidham is the backup for the Patriots today. We have seen a change on the depth chart.
I feel like probably what happened is, Stid had a really strong week of practice. Oh, wait. Never mind. They didn't practice, except for the one time.
So Brian Hoyer's been
demoted
based on his performance in Kansas City.
Pretty much. I mean, what else do you have to go on?
Yeah, you'd have to say that given that news that Stidham would have started last week had the game been played.
Very good point, Paulie. Yeah. Very good point.
Excellent.
I mean, that's one of the real advantages. Obviously, it's frustrating. This is technically the fourth different game time for this game. Remember, originally this was supposed to be a 1 p.m. Then they moved it to 4 just for NFL scheduling, nothing to do with COVID. Then it was shifted. Obviously, it was supposed to be last Monday. That wasn't able to happen. And now here we are. So four different game times for this. But one good thing for the Patriots is, look, they're going to play this game. They're going to have Cam Newton at quarterback. Cam Newton only missed one game while he was on – or he missed – sorry. Yeah, he only missed the one game. Yes, Kansas City, while he was on the COVID-19 reserve list. I think it's a big win for the Patriots.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was a big part of why they ended up not playing last week, to be honest with you. I think that the Patriots were really outspoken. And I'm not questioning that they weren't concerned, because I know they were. I know they were. Who isn't concerned, really, in this day and age? But I do think
Chris would tell you the league. Chris would tell you the league is
no,
not
the league's
as concerned.
Concerned. I think the league is concerned. I just think that there's some, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'll just state my point is, I think the league's concerned. I just think they want to pass the buck when there are cases, when the reality is there were always going to be cases, and it doesn't mean a player did something wrong. These players live in America, which has not handled this pandemic
right.
well,
no, I mean,
which is
yeah,
a fact.
I mean, These are two different things, and I agree everything with Chris with you, what you just said, and I know that you dealt with some of the same issues that I did during the course of the week on other shows on our Sports Hub programming. You know, it has to. We have to point a finger at someone if they get it, because automatically there is no gray area. He did something wrong. I get that, and I think that part of it is very unfair. But what I'm saying about the NFL, and obviously everyone is concerned. I think the NFL knew that this was going to happen, and they planned to plow forward. You know, okay, we have a couple of positives. You have to get those guys. They're not going to be able to play. This is why we expanded rosters. This is why we expanded practice squads. You have to replace those guys. We have to move on. The Patriots said, wait a minute. We're not prepared to play. And I think that's where the pushback came from last week, because really, if you look at it, that's the only game that got postponed so far for so few. I mean, the Tennessee one, it was an outbreak.
True.
You know, the original Steelers game that they changed. The only game that was changed basically for three guys last week, or four players if you count the practice squad defensive tackle Bill Murray. And that game was postponed as a result of that. I mean, Tennessee had, you know, counting their personnel and coaches, I think it was over 20. So everybody else that dealt with one or two positives played. And I think the Patriots didn't want to play, Chris. And I got to tell you, I think the reason was they knew Cam Newton wasn't going to be available, and they wanted to make sure they could play this game with him.
Really? Okay, yeah. So let me follow up on that. When you say the Patriots didn't want to play, are you talking about front office coaching staff? Because I know the players, including Jason McCourty, have been very vocal during that week that they felt like their health and safety was being sacrificed to squeeze in games. So was this a situation where that was first and foremost on this, or was this when, what I like to say, when agendas collide? Bill's agenda is, I need to win, and I can't do it without Cam, and the player's agenda is, we don't want to play, we were just in Kansas City, this isn't safe, and these agendas collide or align very nicely, and it looks like one thing, but it's really more the other.
Chris, you know, you're so articulate, and you say things so much better than I do. That's perfectly put.
Okay.
I do think it's when agendas collide, right?
Yeah.
I do think that, you know, in all seriousness, I do think that I don't blame anybody for being concerned right now. This is a largely unknown virus still, even at this stage. We don't know exactly how you get it. And I think there was a lot of uncertainty on the part of the players. I don't think any of that was phony. I don't think anything that happened last week was phony. But I also think it worked out in the Patriots' benefit, because they didn't have to play another game without their starting quarterback. And I think if you play a game in this league without your starting quarterback, who obviously means a lot to your offense, you have a chance to lose it. And I think that came off the table with all of the uncertainty that surrounded last week. But I think the NFL is going to plow forward. You know, now you're seeing more positives around the league with different teams. And I think the plan, the last I saw, was everyone's playing today. Even though, you know, five or six teams are dealing with a handful of positives.
Yeah, everybody's a go. You know what? When you say agendas collide, Chris, it could be that a player's dual agenda collides. Because, yes, first and foremost, you might be thinking about your own personal safety and the health of your family, etc. But at the same time, you're telling me that Jason McCourty didn't know that his team was better off by taking a week off or pushing a week back and maybe possibly getting their quarterback back?
I don't know. The McCourtys don't really roll like that. I just feel like what he said was earnest.
Name any other player. I mean, there could be a player in there who's thinking about both at the same time.
Like, sure.
One, I don't want to be here dealing with this. Two, I want my quarterback back because we saw what it looked like in Kansas City, and I don't want to go out and play my ass off to have Brian Hoyer or Jarrett Stidham ruin it for us.
I think it's really interesting. I mean, now what's Hoyer's role on this team now? And his role really was to do what they asked him to do against the Chiefs, I think, Paul, which was to be able to step in with no practice time and be the veteran guy that he is and try and just sort of manage the game and steady the ship. And he didn't do any of that against Kansas City. So now I question what his role on this team is, other than sort of emergency quarterback during a COVID season. If another quarterback gets it, or if something happens with Newton, then we'll see him again. But otherwise, I feel like his role on the team, it doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah, it's a good point, because you do. You considered him the safe guy, the quote-unquote safe guy, and then he was anything but safe in his game in Kansas City. But I think that your last point, Chris, is probably why he stays around. There's just the large uncertainty, you know, if something were to happen to Stidham. If, you know, forget COVID, you know, Newton's playing style obviously does not keep him out of harm's way. And, you know, does he hold up all year with the workload that he had in the first 3 weeks, running the ball, throwing the ball, doing all the different things that he's done for the offense? So if you are forced to be without him or Stidham for any reason, I think you'd like to have, you know, another veteran there as that third guy. So I think he stays around for a while. But maybe if you get into the season here and roster spots continue to be at a premium, you might have to make a move.
Paul, as far as the offensive approach today goes for the Patriots, what do you think it looks like? What do they focus on? They're not going up against a very difficult team. They're going up against the Broncos.
Oh, you feel that way now?
Well, I've been convinced of it by Chris, who tells me they're basically UMass. So, what do you want?
They're not that bad. Don't worry about it.
I'm curious to see what it is they choose to do on offense today.
Beetle, they couldn't even punt yesterday. My God, I watched.
Oh my God, was it bad? Fire the coach.
You know, I do expect them. I think that this is a run-first team. I think that's sort of the identity that we've seen. And I know there's a lot of mixing and matching on that offensive line, but it's been like that now for a couple of weeks, and it continues to be a strong suit. I think the young guys, Owenu especially, I think has been a revelation. I think he's been excellent. And I know you were teasing me about the guys up front. You're right. I'm not Dante Scarnecchia here. I'm not breaking down the offensive line film. But I can tell you that there's been a lot of runs behind him, and he's been effective in doing his job. So I do expect them to run the ball. I think the Broncos are a little bit better stopping than run than most of the teams they face so far this year, so we'll see how successful that is. If you're asking me, you know, this is going to be one of those, you know, 17-point wins, and at the end of the day, what would you like to see most? What I would like to see most is an effective passing game that involves more than just Julian Edelman. You know, maybe you get Asiasi involved a little bit on the tight end front. Maybe you continue to develop with N'Keal Harry and Demir Byrd, and those guys are making plays rather than just, you know, in Harry's case, just catching passes. I'd like to see more plays like the touchdown last week, you know, from Stidham. So I think they run the ball, and I think they have success doing that. I'd like to see them throw it a little bit more effectively.
All right, Paul. Great talking to you. Good luck with those Felger Mavs guys this week, okay?
All right, boys. We'll see.
All right. Paul Perillo, Patriots.com with us here on Patriots Preview. Bob Soucy, voice of the Patriots, is with us coming up next on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports of Patriots Radio Network.